a new chapter, fairly. Dance Safe has been around for 20 years now. I would go to their about page on their website to get the most accurate details because I don't know their full in-depth story, and you could quote their website. The Asheville chapter was about to get started a few years ago, and Dance Safe is obviously from the nightlife community. I just moved to Asheville in June, and my background is in drug policy reform. I worked with Students for Sensible Drug Policy before I started working with Dance Safe. I have a contract with Dance Safe to work on something else that's not locally related. So I joined the area and wanted to start a Dance Safe chapter because I know that the nightlife community and the substance using community in Asheville is interconnected, and Dance Safe is trying to grow its support of local communities and start to become more present in communities, which of course is a challenge during COVID when we started this chapter. So since we're new, we're trying to figure out what is the best way to show up for the community when it's not as safe to be doing in-person outreach, when Dance Safe is not able to do what it normally would be doing, which a normal chapter would be having a regular presence at the nightlife community scene explicitly and trying its best to show up and table with educational materials and earplugs and harm reduction supplies like test strips and drug checking kits when the promoters allow us to do that. But we have to approach this chapter a little differently. So that's like the intro into how we started the chapter, and we're still trying to figure out what the community needs and how best to respond. And I'm really grateful Shay pulled through this past week with the overdoses and was able to help distribute some, and Rachel as well, one of our officers who isn't here. But so that's how our chapter has gotten started over the past few months. We haven't really been able to do a lot because of COVID and still trying to figure out what the needs of the community are. But Dance Safe has usually existed to connect to the nightlife community, in terms of demographics, like your question about demographics and which ones we serve primarily. But Shay, please introduce yourself and like talk about how you came to like this work and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. This is pretty much an intro for me into very official harm reduction, but I feel like harm reduction has been a part of how I participated in life for a very, very long time. And that really started with educating the younger kids around me about how to get and use substances safely, what experiences I'd had and my friends had had when using substances, and talking about controlled environments and testing and providing, that was just conversation that was being had, you know, and finding out that that's work that's being done on official levels. And that was really introduced to me through Hannah. So I'm really grateful for the connection that I have with her and being able to move into Dance Safe and start this chapter here. And it's really actually been, unfortunately, since the recent events with all these overdoses that we're now getting information about what the community needs. So when actually it was maybe a few days ago, Transmission, a local project that they have a prison project where they work with trans prisoners and providing all kinds of different supplies. But we were doing a book boxing to send to people, and we started talking to the community members, and they were saying that really what they're hoping to see is now that the nightlife isn't as much of a thing, how can we bring harm reduction deeper into the community outside of nightlife? And if Dance Safe is like how we can, use the resources that we're having from Dance Safe National and having conversations about Dance Safe National, about maybe expanding and seeing what that looks like. But that's what I'm hoping to do here. And I think the WNC chapter is hoping to focus on is like getting deeper into the community now that nightlife isn't as much of a thing. Let's find out where we really are needed. And that really looks like right now,
Sort of like,
definitely the unsheltered population and whatnot. But yeah, go ahead.
oh yeah, I was saying like we're trying to learn how to be a bridge to people online during COVID, and most explicitly. And so I feel like a lot of what we're trying to explore is resource sharing. And if we're unable to provide that direct Narcan, being able to easily direct them to the person at Steady that they can go pick it up from. And similarly, like if we don't have the supplies explicitly that they need, how can we get it to them? And being helping people be aware of which resources are available when it comes to mental health and substance use treatment and support. And so, you know, we're still trying to learn what those resources are in Asheville and what sort of public resources are available. And that also includes being able to do some work to show the community and the city and the government and the county that we need and want more resources. So I think that's part of why we're still trying to assess what exists, because we know that there always needs to be an improvement, and we know that every single locality and community and city can do better at supporting substance users, providing them with medical support and treatment and mental health services instead of putting them in the Asheville jail, and how there's a lot of suspected overdose deaths in the jail. And so I think it's really important that we are talking about it more in the community. And it's sad, of course, because substance use is very segregated by demographic. And so the nightlife community users are not talking about overdose death affecting them as much as people who use more stigmatized substances, which in Asheville includes more people of color. But now that these recent overdoses were also associated with laced ketamine, I believe. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I wasn't there, so I haven't been talking in depth to those folks at Steady, so I'm not 100% mm-hmm. sure. And I wasn't able to test that batch and that type of thing, so I don't know what that substance was. But basically what I'm saying is now we're seeing the crossover of the overdose epidemic and the effect of what the proliferation of the drug market looks like. So during COVID, the CDC just put out an announcement that they support drug checking. This was really recently in December. They put out that they said they support drug checking and drug testing because it can save lives. And especially during COVID, when people are using it home so much, and overdose rates have gone up, and they were able to show that with their data. So yeah, now we're starting to see that the drug checking that has been more common in the nightlife community and nightlife culture, those tools becoming more accessible to people who are using more highly stigmatized drugs, which were previously making up the majority of the overdose population. But now that overdose population is diversifying and including users of other substances that are not as stigmatized, like cocaine and ketamine. So I want to comment that I think that there's an intersection that's happening right now, especially in America, with our borders being closed and the segregation of like substance use and the hierarchy of which drugs are more stigmatized and which drug users are more stigmatized. Suddenly people are starting to care a bit more about substance users. And I think now is the time where more community groups that are serving different demographics need to start working together to show the city of Asheville and the county and the state that we need better policies, better resources, and better approaches to substance use that deal with it as a public health issue, so that we're not arresting people and making the situation worse. So it's a long journey to like get those policies in place. And DanSafe, where it has traditionally served nightlife communities and been providing that type of outreach to the nightlife community, I personally professionally have more experience with policy reform work. And so that's where my interest lies, is in working with the city and the state to expand more resources and divert law enforcement resources, both manpower and like training and defunding the police if necessary, if they just diverted a fraction of those funds to providing more substance use services, so that we had more syringe exchange services, so that we had more on-site services and public health services that intersect with mental health and drug use, so that we had law enforcement assisted diversion programs. But definitely DanSafe is a public health, you know, nonprofit health and human services type of situation. So they view their primary role as providing fentanyl test strips, health information. DanSafe provides it. People can use DanSafe resources. We can give them out physical materials and you can download them online and look on their site. They have drug information cards that give you really detailed information about substances and their chemical makeup and their effects and warning signs and concerns. They have resources on how to recognize signs of overdose. They do not have resources on reversing overdose, besides, you know, referring people to the organizations that primarily do that work. But we do provide Narcan when we can. Narcan at events or to people who need it. Narcan is just hard to obtain for people who aren't registered as community distribution programs like STEADI is, but we're going to look into getting certified so that we can get a stash of Narcan from the public health community that is funded by the state, and we'll be able to provide that to our community members as well.
You've mentioned since COVID hit, how long has this chapter been around?
Pretty new.
We truly haven't started having public meetings. We just started an officer group, and we have a small email list. So we were really small, and we were trying to figure out how to find people who wanted to be involved, because it takes a bit of officers to structure and provide the support and organize and share the labor. We were unable to start holding public meetings because we didn't have the capacity and the bandwidth to do that. So we started an Instagram and started talking to people online and just building our presence online in the community, and are trying to gauge what people want. Do they want a webinar on how to test your drugs for fentanyl? Do they want a webinar on this? Or do they want us to work together, do an outside event where we build individual packages for people that are substance using information and overdose prevention tools and fentanyl test strips and stuff. What sort of things can we do for the community? What people online want, and how do we respond to the needs of people in Asheville that are not online?
So going forward, as vaccinations roll out and we hopefully get out of COVID, what is the goal that I know you guys have said multiple times that you want to connect with other organizations and demographics, but what's the goal realistically looking like how you go about that?
I don't really think it's necessarily about our goal. I mean, our goal is to be extra aid for this community, because what we've learned over the last couple of weeks is that everybody is stressed and spread thin. Studies like if we can take burdens off of harm reduction programs right now, like Harmonia and STEADI, that's our goal, is to help provide more, not only resources, but education. And if we need to be backup hands at an event for STEADI, we're there. It's not necessarily about creating this, any sort of dance safe legacy. It's really just about loosening the burden on this community right now, because everyone is just so spread thin.
Yeah. And I think you said the key word there is being part of the network of mutual aid in the community. We know that right mm-hmm. now that's the most important thing. And so in a time when Dance Safe's traditional role of being a public health presence in the nightlife community is very difficult to do when there's no nightlife community except for online, we see that the needs and the immediate needs in the community, in addition to the health needs of the nightlife using community, which are mm-hmm. fentanyl test strips and drug checking and all those, harm reduction tools, we mm-hmm. also recognize that the things that are impacting our community members that are affected by substance use issues include eviction and all of the other issues that are happening on the socio-political level that are part of the COVID pandemic and our response to it. So I feel like that's a good way to express what our goal is because we don't have any, we're not trying to hold ourselves to any, we're going to do this, blah, 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 blah. We are trying to just exist as part of the mutual aid network in the community, and also work with other organizations as we build our own capacity and our own team. How can we support the work that the community members are doing and the organizers are doing, and further that work so that Asheville becomes a place and the county and the state and the world becomes a place where substance users can survive and live happily and be treated as humans and not mm-hmm. criminalized for their substance use. And so Dance Safe does support, the world in which we are not criminalized by substance use. We need to decriminalize drug checking tools like fentanyl test strips, and we also need to decriminalize drugs. So Dance Safe is the largest online retailer of drug checking kits in the United States. So please send people to Dance Safe's website to buy fentanyl test strips and drug checking kits. They sell them by the pack of 100 at cost of about $1 each. So people who are able to afford it can buy their own box and distribute it to their community. And they, of course, provide a panel test kit reagent checking for a lot of different substances. So they do a critical role, and they are able to do so because they're registered in Colorado, and Colorado has legalized drug checking tools. So that's DanSafe, and we're grateful to be part of that community and do what we can to help provide some of these tools and resources to folks in Asheville.
That's great. How would people get involved, either by actually doing, like, helping you guys, volunteering, or like just getting programs or anything like that? How would they go about doing that?
You can message us on Instagram or
messaging on Instagram. You're going to get a really quick response. That's where we're mainly present right now. And then we're just sending information for like how to sign up for to be volunteers. And like, you have to go through some testing and education first, or like
training.
Training. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. You have to go through a training first. But yeah, people can just reach out to us on Instagram, and we have got a bunch of information there right now.
If you want to become a volunteer for our chapter and help us build these resources in the community and help us do this work, you can, you know, you don't have to reach out directly to us. You can start by just going to dansafe.org, going to their volunteer page, and starting their volunteer training. It takes an hour on the computer, and it's really simple and easy. And you learn a lot about drug checking and how to provide resources for people and educate people about drug checking and public health resources and overdose prevention resources. You learn the basic steps to reverse an overdose. So go take the training and get certified as a volunteer. And then when you do that, you'll automatically get connected to our chapter through DanSafe National. And they'll tell us that you completed the training and that people said that they were in the Western North Carolina area, and then we'll get to work with you. So you can reach out to us directly on Instagram or via email. Our email is Western, WESTERN, NC, so Western and then another NC, at dansafe.org.
All right. Well, that was awesome, guys. I really appreciate it. Do you have anything else you want to say or anything?
Thank you so much for your time today. I'm really glad that we can, that our presence is being asked for, and that we have some sort of outreach to people to know for us and to be able to access our resources. So thank you.
I really appreciate it.